Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to our journey with the Quran, this beautiful journey with the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today we are addressing the seventh juz of the Quran. And we are going to talk primarily about Surah Al-An'am, or the majority of Surah Al-An'am. Surah Al-An'am is a Surah Makkiyah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Al-An'am are the cattle. And the reference of Al-An'am here is for something that the non-believers before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had classified different kinds of cattle. Some of them they have forbidden for themselves. Some of them they have forbidden for their spouses. Some parts of the animal would be forbidden based on their allegations. And this is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refutes their allegations and say, this is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. The reason they have done that is that they have associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have equated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, we find the start of the surah talking about that, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has created the heavens and the earth. Alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur. Praise is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created the heavens and the earth and made the darknesses and the light. Plural darknesses and only one light, the light leading to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the light of guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent our way through the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about his infinite powers subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation of the heavens and the earth and making the darknesses and the light, which by the way, even the non-believers believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and of the heavens and the earth. As it comes in many of the ayat, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they know that an idol that they have carved with their own hands did not create the heavens and the earth. Not Al-Lat, not Al-Uzza, not Hubal, not Manah, and none of these idols that they were worshipping. So they acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Therefore, the conclusion of this ayah, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this beautiful surah with this beautiful praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. And after all of that, after they recognized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole creator, they equate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَعْدِلُونَ here does not mean that they are making justice, but they are making equality between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the idols that they have carved or created with their own hands. What kind of injustice is that? What kind of oppression is that? It's an oppression to their own selves before being an oppression to others. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the non-believers as oppressors, first and foremost to their own selves, because they're going to bring a severe punishment on these selves. When we look at Surah Al-An'am, we find that it has a lot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed a lot of descriptions about his great self subhanahu wa ta'ala, and unique signs of his power subhanahu wa ta'ala, things that no one else can even closely claim that they possess the same kind of powers or the same kind of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. So in this beautiful surah, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, describing his great self subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. That the keys to the unknown only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has been a question that many people have been searching for its answer over the ages, and they have gone to soothsayers and fortune tellers and so on and so forth, trying to ask them about What is hidden in the future? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this matter at rest, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the hidden, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the future. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs a prophet or a messenger about something that's going to happen in the future, that's only part of the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, and only with the authorization from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has given to that prophet or messenger to tell his followers about what will happen in the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, with his great mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, told us about several things that are going to happen in the future that counts, not next day or next week or next month or next 10 years, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the future of our eternal life, which is what really counts. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us full details about exactly what should an individual expect when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they have sent forward good deeds or if they have sent forward sins and bad deeds and defiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly made that case about what would be the final abode and what even would be the stages of getting to that final destination, whether it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his paradise or the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and torture and torment in the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spare us any kind of torture or torment on the Day of Judgment. So, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ. And then look at the beautiful detail that comes next. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Now on earth, we know that the earth is divided between land and sea. That's all of the planet. It's either land or sea, or a buffer zone between them, like marshes or things of that sort, which is still a mixture of land and sea. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he knows what happens on land and in the sea. So nothing that happens on this earth without the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us even further details. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Now, those of us who have trees, for example, in their backyards, or those who pass by forests or trails or parks that have trees, or even on the streets when we see the trees during the fall season or the autumn season when they start shedding their leaves. The amount of leaves that are on the trees and the amount that falls to the ground during that fall season, no one can count these trees. No one can count these leaves. So we can't count the trees and we cannot count the leaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that no, not one leaf falls from a tree without the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. Not even a seed in the darknesses of the earth. It has not germinated yet. ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. Not a wet thing and not a dry thing. Again, things can either be wet or dry or in a stage in between with some wetness and some dryness. So it's one of or the other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that all of these are within the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we hear about these powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can anything or anyone be equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yasifun. In another passage, Allah and again within the same passage of these ayat that started with this beautiful ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in control, the one who is dominating over his servants. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the absolute power, the absolute control, and he is the all-wise, so he exerts and he uses this power and this knowledge and this control in the most wise way, and he is the expert subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows how to deal with each individual or each creature that he subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. You know, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was common for the companions, one companion, for example, passing by another companion, they would grab him by the hand, he would grab him by the hand and say, "Ijlis bina nu'min sa'a," or "Ta'ala nu'min bi rabbina sa'a." Let's sit and believe together in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for an hour. Or let's go together and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for an hour. How can one believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for an hour? I can actually tell you from my personal experience, and definitely each and every one would have their own experience, the way they relate to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beauty of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can relate to that in everything that's around us. If you like walking in nature, for example, in a forest or in a park or in a trail or something like that, observing the trees, observing the flowers, observing the scenery around you. The one who truly can connect the dots, all of these dots are going to lead only in one direction, La ilaha illallah. The ones who like stargazing, who can have the luxury of having a dark sky where they can see an uncountable number of stars and constellations and planets and so on and so forth. Those who love astronomy, for example, they have telescopes and they can look at the sky. If you look at all the magnificence of the creation of the sky, that's a way to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who love to look under microscope at living organisms and the different cells and the perfection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created are going to observe this perfection under the microscope. Those who are familiar with anatomy, those who are familiar with botany, those who are familiar with any kind of science, geography, you're going to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, and all the dots lead to the unity and uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A poet once composed a couple of verses about that meaning, and these were very beautiful verses. He said, فَيَا عَجَبًا كَيْفَ يُعْصَى الْإِلَهُ أَوْ كَيْفَ يَجْحَدُهُ الْجَاحِدُ وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ. He's wondering, I wonder, how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disobeyed, or how is he denied by the deniers of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, there is a sign, there's a proof that he is the one subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the one worthy of worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us would like to watch some documentaries like on National Geographic Channel or PBS or Planet Earth and so on and so forth. And subhanallah, really when you look at these documentaries, you cannot help but saying while you're watching, and again, this is only for the believer who wants to open his or her mind and eyes and senses to see the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the magnificence of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't help while watching these documentaries but saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. You find yourself always saying these things if you have really opened your mind. And if someone has not, and now here comes again Al-An'am. Because in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about those who have blocked all of these senses and they have put them aside instead of utilizing them in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our hearing so that when we hear something, we hear, for example, the voices of the sounds of the birds in the morning around sunrise, you're going to find that there's a louder sound coming from the birds and the insects around sunrise and around sunset, and they are making tasbih to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The eyes, when we look at the beauty of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, recognizing again the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our feet, our hands, our brain, our everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, when we use it in the right way, it's going to be an ally of us on the Day of Judgment, and they're going to testify on our behalf. Whereas on the other hand, those who have put these things on hold or on pause, or they have used them in a way contrary to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to use them for. So they use their hands to harm other people. They use their legs to walk to things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. They use their eyes, their ears, their tongue, their brain and their mind in ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of. And again, these are going to be their enemies on the Day of Judgment. They're going to testify against them. Each one of these senses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, each one of these bounties are going to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person did not use me wisely. And therefore, they're going to testify against that person. And the person would look at his or her own senses and say, why are you doing that? Why are you testifying against me? Because they are creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the individual forces them to disobey, they will have to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and testify against that individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another surah that we're going to discuss in a couple of days, Surah Al-A'raf, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a lot of humans and a lot of jinn and a lot of وَلَقَدْ دَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for the hellfire a lot of jinn and a lot of ins, the majority actually of these two species. For what? لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا, they have hearts and they have minds that they do not use to understand and to ponder upon things. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا, and they have eyes, they see with these eyes, but they do not have the vision to understand and to relate what they are seeing to what they should be feeling. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا, and they have ears, but they have misused these ears to hear, to listen to nonsense and to gossip and to backbiting and so on, or harmful speech, songs or whatever, instead of listening to guidance that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا, so minds, eyes and ears that are not used properly, what differentiates these from the cattle, from the animals? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ, these are just like cattle that cannot recognize good from evil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ, they are even worse than cattle. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ, these are the ones who are absent-minded from thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the ones who are heedless to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ponder upon the creation around us. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, the beautiful ayat, one that came in Surah Al-Baqarah and one that came in Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives us another beautiful passage about his unique power subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha khaliqul habbi wan nawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the seeds and the germs. The germs, not like microbes, but things that germinate to grow plants. Like for example, inside a date, there's this inner core of the date, the pit of the date, which can be later on planted to grow another palm tree and other dates. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ, he subhanahu wa ta'ala extracts live things from dead things, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala extracts dead things out of live things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes another miracle that we face every day. فالق الإصباح, he is the one who allows the sun to cut the darknesses of the night and to start the first rays of light. وجعل الليل سكنا والشمس والقمر حسبانا, and he is the one who has made the night for us to rest, and the moons and the stars and the sun and the stars as ways for us to calculate the circles of time or the rotation of time, whether it's days of the week or weeks of the month or months of the year or years of one's life. All of these are signs of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the family of the scripture, some of the people in the family of the scripture, when you read about the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their books, you find a very grim description, an angry deity. And this is, by the way, not the true revelation that was revealed to the prophets and messengers. This is what they have concocted and what they have modified in these books. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man came from the desert, a Bedouin came from the desert, and he listened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited him to come and listen to the guidance, and he was listening and he was amazed. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioning in part of his hadith, inna Allah yadhaku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs at a certain individual who does this or does that and so on, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased, not a laugh of mocking that individual, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with what that individual is doing. So that Bedouin stopped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, awa yadhaku Rabbuna? Does our Lord laugh? And by the way, the laughing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing like our laughing, because He subhanahu wa ta'ala لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's no parallel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He hears or that He sees or that He the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on, these are things, again, تَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, that are fit for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are not like the faculties that we have, or like the hand that we have, or the foot that we have, and so on and so forth. Again, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. We believe in all of these descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we relate, or we delegate their understanding to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has meant. So does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have eyes? He subhanahu wa ta'ala says so. What do they look like? He only subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have a hand? He subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. Again, what does it look like? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And it's something that's befitting the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing like our own hands or our own eyes. So the man asked, أَوَ يَضْحَكُ رَبُّنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with the servant doing this and that. So that new companion, that Bedouin who came from the desert and listened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the first time, he was amazed and he was so happy. He said, وَاللَّهِ لَا نَعْدَمُ مِنْ رَبٍّ يَضْحَكُ خَيْرًا. I have a great hope in the Lord who laughs. A Lord who would be satisfied and who would be happy with what a servant of his does. This Lord, I have a great hope in him, and I'm going to worship that Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the beautiful description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bringing people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this great mind, this great gift, which is the intellect. This amana, again, the trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, you will be able to distinguish, to the two species, the ins wal jinn, you will be able to distinguish good from evil, so act accordingly. So now, show me how are you going to use that gift in the proper way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an example of how to use that gift in the proper way. The example comes through Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. When he looked at his father and he asked him a question, and he was not agreeing with what his father was doing. He was asking, how come? Wa idh qala Ibrahim li abihi azara atattakhidhu asnaman aliha? Are you carving these idols, these statues, and then you are prostrating to them? Does that make any sense? Inni araka wa qawmaka fi dalalin mubin. What I'm seeing you doing, you and your follower, you and your people, you are completely at a loss. You are completely in the darkness if you can't see that what you're doing is wrong. Now, who introduced that idol worshipping in Arabia, who imported that idol worshipping in Arabia. Now, Shaitan, again, with his pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's going to try to deceive as many people as possible, is working over time to do that. So, at the time of Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, after Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam passed away, and there were a few of his companions, the good believers, who were saved on that ark of Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, that big ship that sailed through the flood, and they were saved to start a new humanity. Some of these companions of Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam outlived him. They lived after he passed away. And when they died, people said, oh, we lost this great companion of Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabi alayhi salam, and so on. So what they did, Shaitan came to them with a very sneaky idea. He said, you know what? These are pious people. These are great people. Before you forget them, you should make a statue for each one of them. And they made these statues. Wad, Waswa', Wayaguth, Waya'uq, Wanasr. These were good people, but people made statues for them. The first generation recognized that these are the companions of Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. So when they passed by these statues, they used to show respect, maybe bow their heads or nod in appreciation for what they have done. The second generation came and they have seen their fathers showing respect and bowing their heads and so on and so forth. They didn't ask who are these, or the fathers failed to convey to their children who these are. The third generation came and they found their fathers showing respect to these statues. They asked them, who are these? Why are you showing that respect? Oh, we don't know. We just found our fathers doing that. So gradually, Shaitan now struck at the right time for him, for his evil, telling people, oh, these are deities. Haven't you seen your fathers and your forefathers showing respect to them? So you should prostrate to them, you should worship them, you should send sacrifices to them, and so on and so forth. And that was the first introduction of idol worshipping. In Mecca al-Mukarramah, people who used to live in Mecca, whenever they traveled for their trade in summer and in winter, to the north to Ash-Sham and to the south to Al-Yaman, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Ash-Sham and Al-Yaman from the atrocities that are going there right now. The people of both countries are suffering tremendously under tyrannies and injustices. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them relief from the hardships that they are facing right now. So some of these travelers, they used to say, oh, while we are on that long journey to Ash-Sham or to Al-Yaman, we're going to take with us some stones from Mecca al-Mukarramah to remind us about the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we used to make tawaf around and pray around and so on. Again, with time, people that were traveling didn't understand what's the value of these stones. These stones were only for a sentimental value, to remind them of back home. But gradually, again, Shaitan came and told them, well, this is from the Holy Land, so these are holy rocks that you should prostrate to them, just like you used to make tawaf around the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the sad thing is that one of these travelers would take with him three stones. And when they camp, they would look at these three stones. The best one of them, they would take as a deity, as an idol. And the remaining two, they would put them to support their pots and pans when they were cooking. It's just whichever one was the best shaped or the best polished or whatever. What kind of reason, what kind of mentality is that? Now, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a man whose name was Ghawi ibn Abdud. Ghawi ibn Abdud, Ghawi means deceived. It's the opposite of guided. Rashid is guided. Ghawi is someone who went astray. Abdud, Wud is another one of these idols. So this man, Ghawi ibn Abdud, had an idol that he used to worship. And one day he was doing some of his business, and he came back and he found a very strange scene. He found a fox, a small fox, in the desert, urinating on his idol. So he said, now I'm going to wait and see what kind of revenge this idol, this deity, as he called it, is going to inflict on this miserable fox that dared to urinate on the idol. And he kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing happened. And then he came up to his senses and he said, أَرَبٌ يَبُولُ الثُّعْلُبَانُ بِرَأْسِهِ لَقَدْ ذَلَّ مَنْ بَالَتْ عَلَيْهِ الثَّعَالِبُ. The mere translation is, would it be a god that, or a deity, that the fox would urinate on its head? Truly the one on whose head the fox has urinated is truly inferior. They cannot be a god or a deity. And he heard about the Prophet ﷺ, so he went to the Prophet ﷺ, he migrated to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, and he told the Prophet ﷺ about this story, and he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam changed his name from Ghawi to Rashid, and from Ibn Abdud to Ibn Abdullah. So he became the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rashid ibn Abdullah, instead of being Ghawi ibn Abdud, for the simple reason that he used his mind. He thought, he was blind for so long, and then finally at a moment of clarity, he saw the truth, so he embraced that truth, and alhamdulillah, he was saved for that. So Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam is asking his father, how come you are worshipping these idols? I do not know who to worship, but it's definitely not something that we carve with our own hands. So Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam embarked on his own journey. Again, at the night, he would look at the sky and see a very bright star, maybe the North Star, maybe another distant planet or something. And he looked at the very bright star and he said, this is my Lord. This is high in the sky, so remote, so supreme, so elevated. I am going to worship that star. And then by dawn, when the darkness started to dissipate and light started coming to replace it, he found that this star started to fade until it disappeared and could not be seen. He said, no, that cannot be my Lord. لا أحب الآفلين. I don't like things that fade away. That cannot be my Lord. The following day, or maybe another week, he saw a full moon. And then the full moon, very bright in the sky, filling the sky with light. You could walk under the light of that moon. And it's so, again, supreme in the sky, very high in the sky, very prominent. He said, this is my Lord, not the one that faded. This is my Lord. Again, by the morning, the moon disappeared. And then the moon was replaced by the sun. Now, this is it. The sun, the warm, shiny, big, that gives warmth, that gives light, that gives this and that. So he said, this has got to be my Lord. And then by sunset, when he saw that the sun, again, moving down in the horizon and disappearing, he said, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He again connected the dots. It's not the star, it's not the moon, it's not the sun, but it is the creator of the stars, the moon, and the sun. So he said, I am directing my face to the one who has created the heavens and the earth, Hanifan, worshipping him subhanahu wa ta'ala without any partners or any associates. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. I'm not going to be one of these idol worshippers who worship things aside to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in addition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Now, what was the response of his people when he came back to them with this truth? They argued with him. They told him, what happened to you? We had great hopes in you. You seemed to be a good young man growing up to be a good man. What happened to you? And he responded to them, أَتُحَاجُّونِّي فِي اللَّهِ وَقَدْ هَدَانِ. Are you arguing with me about my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala who has guided me? And how can I associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be comfortable with that? And how do you feel safe when you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you feel immune from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That does not make sense. Who should feel safety? The ones who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. These are the ones who deserve the peace and the safety from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the ones who have been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very beautiful journey. Just again, moments of sincerity leading to moments of clarity, leading to a life of faith and sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the beautiful example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. How old was Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam when he went through this journey? He was a teenager, because in other ayat, his people, when they found their idols were broken and shattered by Sayyidina Ibrahim, they said, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتًا يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We heard about a young man, a teenager, who was insulting and criticizing our deities, and his name is Ibrahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us what is the clear consequence again of using that beautiful gift that he subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, which is our mind. In Surah Al-An'am, we find a lot of argument between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the non-believers. They used to come with different allegations, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would instruct the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam how to respond to them. So we find the word قُلْ, قُلْ, قُلْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and of course teaching us, how to respond to these false allegations of the non-believers. These allegations that do not really make sense, but still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to educate them so that they would have no excuse. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I know that you are feeling sad for them, for the rejection that you are facing from them, and they are not just denying you. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. These are not just denying you or calling you a liar, they are actually denying the powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the signs and the proofs that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the only way forward is to stay the course. Because if that task is too big for you, you're not going to find any other way. So the only way is to stay the course, keep proceeding full steam ahead, keep insisting and persisting on what you're doing. You are on the right path. Let not the objection and the opposition that you're facing from the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let not that stop you from your noble mission, which is guiding all of the creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Surah Al-An'am, also in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us two very beautiful hopes about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ in Surah Al-Kahf. Here, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. That's a beautiful ayah. Again, like that Bedouin who was amazed by a Lord who laughs. Again, we should be amazed by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed upon himself subhanahu wa ta'ala without any compulsion, has prescribed upon himself mercy. As he subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith Qudsi related by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the meaning of which was related by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his mercy precedes his wrath. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala precedes his wrath. If it were the opposite, that the wrath precedes the mercy, no one No one would have lived on the face of this earth, because every accountable creature at a certain point in time or another has sinned against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the exception of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But every other creature has sinned against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to rush the punishment before His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala, no living creature would have lived on the face of this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another surah, again Surah Al-A'raf, that we're going to discuss next time inshallah, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that my mercy has encompassed everything, has covered everything. So nothing that we do is greater than the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His generosity and His mercy, does not immediately record our sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever we commit a sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angels, give him or give her some time to reconsider. Maybe they're going to wake up to their senses. Maybe they're going to recognize what they have done. And if they do, and if they repent, nothing is recorded. The deed, actually the repentance would be recorded, but not the sin itself. So it would be a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those pious servants not as the ones who do not sin, because again, humans are sinners, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the meaning of the hadith, كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. All the sons of Adam are sinners by default, but the best sinners, serial sinners, are the serial repenters. Whenever they sin, they repent. Whenever they sin, they repent. In another beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person has sinned, and then he woke up to his senses and he said, اللهم إني أذنبت ذنبا وأعلم أن لي ربا يغفر الذنب ويأخذ بالذنب فاغفر لي يا رب. Oh Allah, I have committed a sin, and I know that I have a Lord who can forgive the sin if He wills, and who can hold accountable for the sin if He wills. Oh Allah, I'm asking You to forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him. Then moments later, that same servant commits another sin, but again he or she wakes up to their senses and they say the same thing. Allahumma inni adnabtu dhanban wa a'lamu anna li rabban yaghfiru adh-dhanba wa ya'khudhu bid-dhanb faghfir li ya rabb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again will forgive them. Maybe moments later or hours later, within the same day, they would commit another sin. But again they would wake up to their senses and repeat that same dua one more time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would tell the angels, أَذْنَبَ عَبْدِي ذَنْبًا فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ وَيَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ أُشْهِدُكُمْ يَا مَلَائِكَتِي أَنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would tell the angels, this is a servant of mine who has sinned time and time again and a third time, but each time he recognizes that he or she has a Lord who can hold accountable for the sin, or who can forgive the sin. O my angels, testify that I have forgiven that servant. So this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are hoping for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another surah, also Surah Al-A'raf, we're talking about Surah Al-A'raf prematurely, about the pious ones. Again, that's what I was trying to say initially. The pious ones are not the ones who do not sin, but the pious ones are the ones who, when they sin, they do not keep in that slumber for too long. It's sort of dozing off and then they wake up to their senses. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Those who are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they are touched by a touch or a glimpse of the devil, an effect of the devil, when it happens to them and when they forget, they immediately remember. تذكروا. And when they remember, their vision gets back to them. They have been blind when they committed their sin, but when they repent, their vision comes back to them. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. Inshallah, tomorrow we're going to continue with Surah Al-An'am, especially the last part of Surah Al-An'am, which again has a passage that's one of the most beautiful commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his servants. And again, I'm urging my brothers and sisters, whenever we read the ayat of Surah Al-An'am, let's listen to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's listen to the instructions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we read an ayah, let's look, where does this fall? Is it one of the group of ayat that are talking about the magnificence and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a clear vision? Is it one of the ayat that is talking about the journey of the battle between truth and falsehood? Is it one of the group of ayat that are talking about the provisions that we should take with us, the do's and the don'ts? Is it one of the group of ayat that are talking about the final abode, paradise for the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the hellfire for the those who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And let's try to again connect the dots and see the big picture, see the beauty of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beauty of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. I'm also going to invite my brothers and sisters, as I did yesterday, to please give me some feedback, give me some response to what you are hearing or what you're watching. And if you have a question or if you have a certain comment, please share it with me, and so that we can learn together, we can grow together, inshallah. So until tomorrow, inshallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.